This year is sponsored to Lezecha Nishmas in memory of Rochelea Bas Rav Chaim Tzvi. The Seder of this week, Parshas Truma, begins a series of parshios that comprise the second part of Sefer Shmos that deal primarily in large measure with the building of the Mishkan and the various vessels and the various kalim and accoutrements, if you will, that were part of the Mishkan. The Torah says towards the end of Parshas Truma, Perek Chavav Pasuk Lamed, Vakemosas Hamishkan Kemishpato Asher Haresa Bahar, and you shall erect the Mishkan Kemishpato in accordance with its laws as you were shown on the mountain. Now this pasuk appears at the end of the section describing the building or the construction of what is known as the Krushim. Krushim, the Keresh, the Krushim are boards, planks, which were built into a sort of rectangular shape that were the walls that contained the inner part of the Mishkan. So the Torah describes that the Krushim are made out of wood, they're overlaid with gold, they were fitted into certain silver sockets and so on. And the end of that section about the Krushim, the Torah makes this comment, you should build the Mishkan and let everything follow its laws. So the Talmud Yerushalmi in Masechet Shabbos, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Gimel, the Yerushalmi asked the following question, Amar Rab Imi v'Hakemoses HaMishkan K'mishpato v'Chiyesh Mishpat La'etzim? Wood has laws. There are laws about wood. What do you mean that the wood should be built in accordance with its laws? What are the laws about the wood? The beams, these planks, these boards had laws. So the Gemara says yes. Ella ezeker zochel inosin bitzafon inosin bitzafon bedarom inosin bedarom. That there was an order to the planks, to the boards that were built into that rectangular shape in the middle part of the Mishkan. They had to be constructed in such a way that whatever board was in the northern section of the structure, when it was built, had to always be in the northern section. In other words, if it was the northern section, board number four from the end, it always had to be the northern section, board number four from the end. If it was in the western section, board number three from the middle, whatever it was, wherever the board was, that's where it always had to be. Each board had to be next to each other board. We might think that when they took the Mishkan down, the Mishkan, of course, was assembled and dismantled as the people traveled and stationed in different places. So you might think, listen, these boards are all the same anyway. They're indistinguishable. So what's the difference? Why put them back up? Doesn't matter. The order doesn't matter. And the Rishalmi tells us not true. The order does matter. And therefore, the boards had to be in the exact positions that they always were. Now, this is a relevant piece of information for Halacha because we know that the Gemara tells us, for example, Masechet Shabbos, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, and also Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Beis, and other places, that when we try to figure out what exactly it is that's usur, that's forbidden on Shabbos, in terms of melacha, what type of work is forbidden on Shabbos? The Torah only says, Lo sase chol melacha, you're not allowed to do any work. We've discussed in past year, what do you mean by work? What is work on Shabbos? Nobody would think striking a match is terribly hard work. Yet that's one of the 39 melachos on Shabbos. Somebody would certainly think that to remove a heavy table from one side of the room to the other, that is work. That can be very hard work, and yet that's not really a violation of any of the 39 melachos. So how do we define work on Shabbos? So the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that Mem Tes Amud Beis, Hada Yaser Kambrelu, Hada Isnan Avos Melachos Arboim Choser Achas Keneged Mia. Where do we get the 39 melachos? The Gemara phrases it 40 minus 1. That's another way of saying 39. So we have 39 melachos. How do we know? Well, what do they correspond to? Amar Lehu Rab Chanina Bar Chama Keneged Avodos HaMishkan. Whatever was done in the Mishkan, that's what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. All of the creative activity that was done for the purpose of building the Mishkan, that's exactly what's not allowed to be done with regards to Shabbos. And the Gemara says later on the same page, for example, Ein chayovin el al melacha sheyosu b'hoisav Mishkan. You're only chayev. We're talking about midoraisa now on a Torah level. The Rabbanan added different laws for Shabbos, but on a Torah level, defining one of the melachas, the Gemara says that you're not chayev until you do something that's done in the Mishkan. Heim zaru, they had to plant in terms of the Mishkan because they had to have plants that produce the dyes for the different colors. There were different things with dyed different colors. So atemlo sizru, you're not allowed to plant. Heim kotsu v'atemlo tiktsuru. You had to reap something, so you're not allowed to reap or harvest on Shabbos. Heim helos akroshim ikarkal agola. They brought the beams when they dismantled the Mishkan. The boards were taken from the ground and put on a wagon. You can't do something on Shabbos, bring something from a public domain to a more private domain. And so on and so forth. That's what the Gemara says. So clearly from that Gemara, that which is forbidden on Shabbos is derived from that which was done in the Mishkan. Similarly, in the Tzadik Vav and Beis in Shabbos, the Gemara there discusses that we find different terms. We find that the 39 Melachos are called Avos Melacha, an Av Melacha. What's the lesson of Av? Av means father. What does it mean? It means the major principle, like Pirkei Avos. What does it mean, Av Melacha? And then there's something called a Tolda. Tolda is like an offspring, so to speak, a subcategory. So the Gemara says, what's called an Av is something which was done in the Mishkan. A Tolda is something similar to, but not exactly the same was done in the Mishkan. Different definitions. But again, you see the connection between Shabbos and the Mishkan. Now, the Gemara says, the Mishnah actually, in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Yossi, talking about the Malacha of writing, Lo chivush de osas el mishum roshim shekach kosin al kar sheha mishkan leida ezo ben zugo. Where do we see that there was a malacha of writing in the Mishkan? So Rabbi Yossi explains, and that goes back to the Yerushalmi we started with, that since they had to know which board was next to which, they had to make some kind of mark on them, each board, to know which one it was. Like many people, when they build their sukkah, they have different planks and boards, and they label them. I remember years ago when I built a sukkah, so I had this whole complicated system. This is in the northwest corner of the backyard facing the neighbor, and this is in the other one. Now I got wiser, I just labeled 1, 2, 3, 4. That's much simpler. But in the Mishkan, that's what they did. All the boards had some kind of mark on it to know where it was going to be repositioned when they would reassemble the Mishkan. So they had to write on it. So it says the Mishnah in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Gimel and Aleph. That's why Kosev, that's why writing is one of the melachas that is prohibited on Shabbos. Rashi over there says, Simon Shay Osim Bikarsha Mishkan Vipnesha Mafarkan also Shikimu Lo Yichlefu Seder HaKroshim. They had to know this because when they dismantle the Mishkan, they reassemble it. It has to be reassembled in the same area, the same way as we discussed before. That's what Rashi says in Shabbos in the very first Mishnah, which lists the 39 Malachas. Dav Ein Gimel Amud Aleph. Rashi says, Kosev, because Shekain Roshman Al Karsha Mishkan Leida Ezer Ben Zugo. Each one had to know which one it was next to. So in what the order was, they had to write. So therefore, we know that Kosev, writing is forbidden on Shabbos. It's Asim Midoraisa. It's one of the 39 Malachas. Actually, as an aside, the Avnei Nezer, one of his chuvas, the Sacher Chav Rebbe, Chelek Arachaim, Simon Kuf Tzadi Tes, and Oz Yud, he mentions that maybe that's only according to one opinion, but even if you don't accept that opinion, there's another thing I had to write. We'll read in a few weeks in Mitzvah Shem Parshas Pekudei, where the Torah tells us that Moshe gave an exact reckoning, an inventory of everything that was collected for the Mishkan. How did he know? He knew by heart exactly what was given. The answer is no, says the Avnei Nezer. They wrote down, as people donated different things to contribute to the Mishkan, they wrote down different what is this amount of gold and this amount of other materials and so on. They had to write this down. So that writing was part of the record keeping for the Mishkan. So that's why writing is forbidden. Or he notes as well that next week Mr. Shem will read about the Big Day Kahuna, the garments of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, a special garment, was called the Choshen, the breastplate, which had on it certain jewels, and carved into each jewel was the name of each tribe, each Shevet, among other things. So there you had writing. So we have a number of different sources as to why writing was necessary in terms of the Mishkan activities, and writing is forbidden on Shabbos. What exactly do we mean when we say writing is forbidden on Shabbos? So a very interesting comment, which the Ramo accepts lahalacha, but to get to it, we'll have to go back a step. The Gemara says in Maseches Gittin, on Daf Chesam Beis, an interesting comment. The Gemara there is talking about a place called Surya. Surya is to the north of Eretz Yisrael. Today, in modern day Syria, they also call it Surya. But when the Gemara speaks about Surya, it's talking about land in that general area. But we'll probably include what we call Lebanon today, north and slightly northeast of Eretz Yisrael. That was called Surya. So the Gemara explains that Surya was conquered by David HaMelech, but for technical reasons, which are not important for right now, it was never given the full status of Eretz Yisrael for all halachas. It has the status of Eretz Yisrael for certain halachas and the status of Chutz Al-Aretz for other halachas. And again, the Gemara in Gittin discusses which are which. One of the things the Gemara says is the following, Chesam and Beis. The Gemara says, Vakone sode b'Surya, if somebody buys a field in Surya, it's kekone b'parvare Yerushalayim. It's like buying right in the outskirts of Yerushalayim. Buying a territory, a land, a house in Surya is like buying in Yerushalayim, meaning it has the same dinim. Ask the Gemara, Lamai Hilchasa, with regard to what is that significant? In other words, with regards to what halacha are we saying that purchasing territory in Syria is tantamount to purchasing it in Yerushalayim or right in the outside of Yerushalayim? For what halacha? Amar of Sheshes, Lomar Shekosin alav Onova filu b'Shabbos. Staggering comment, Rav Sheshes says, this teaches you that you're allowed to buy land and write up the document, the bill of sale, the deed, even on Shabbos. There's a mitzvah that's important for Jews to maintain sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael and to acquire as much of Eretz Yisrael as we can. The Gemara is talking even about Syria, and certainly in Eretz Yisrael proper. That's important. If there is land that becomes available for purchase in Eretz Yisrael, Jews should buy it up. It should have a Jewish sovereignty, Jewish control over Eretz Yisrael. That's part of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is so important that you're even allowed to write the document on Shabbos. Wow, that's what Rav Sheshes says. You can write the document, even buying in Syria. Rashi explains, Ono means a shtar mechir, like a bill of sale. And then Rashi says, of course, that's provided that the goy who's selling it wants to sell it right now. In other words, if you tell him, well, I can come back tomorrow, we can agree, okay, then he can wait till tomorrow. But if you're afraid that this person is selling the land right now, and if you don't buy it now, maybe the opportunity will be lost, maybe he'll chicken out, or he'll move, or he'll do something else, he'll sell it to somebody else, and you won't be able to purchase it, then you can even write the document on Shabbos. That is relevant today, perhaps, because there are times when Arabs are willing to sell land in Eretz Yisrael, but fellow Arabs give them a hard time. They more than give them a hard time, sometimes object very forcefully and fiercely. So sometimes they do things secretly. So if they would come up on Shabbos and the person would say, listen, it's either now or never. I'm selling you this land now or the deal's off. So the Gemara seems to say you can even not only buy it, but you can write the documents on Shabbos. Yes, the Gemara, b'Shabbos al-Kabadach, what? On Shabbos? Shabbos, you're allowed to write. It's one of the 39 halachas. It's forbidden midaraisa. It's a biblical prohibition to write on Shabbos. I mean, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is nice, but since when do we cancel a biblical? It's impossible, says the Gemara. Shabbos, the only time we ever hear about writing or doing anything else on Shabbos that's awesome midaraisa is, God forbid, a life and death emergency, pikuach nefesh. So then we're allowed to do whatever malach we have to do to save somebody's life. But it's hard to imagine, says the Gemara, that for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael you can write on Shabbos. How can it be? The Gemara says you're right. That doesn't mean that. The Gemara says what it means is, rather, here it is, rather, Kedoma Rava Omer La'Oved Kochavim Va'osa. No, you can tell a non-Jew to write. That's what it means. A Jew can't write on Shabbos. No, okay, what mitzvah it is? Except, as I say, except for saving a life. But other than that, you certainly can't write on Shabbos. The Gemara is telling us is that you can tell a non-Jew to write on Shabbos. So yes, the Gemara, wait a second. That's also not allowed. Whatever we're not allowed to do on Shabbos, we're not allowed to tell a non-Jew for us to do for us either. That's called Amira L'Nachri, telling a non-Jew, or sometimes called Amira L'Akum. Akum means Oved Kochav Mazalos, means a non-Jew. Really, technically, Akum means an idolater, but doesn't have to mean that. It's used in general. Amira L'Nachri, Amira L'Goy, Amira L'Akum, it's the same thing. Whatever we're not permitted to do on Shabbos, we can't tell a non-Jew to do for us on Shabbos. Not that the non-Jew doesn't have to observe Shabbos, but we're not allowed to instruct a non-Jew to do something in our behalf for Shabbos. That's called Amira L'Nachri, Amira L'Akum. So how does that help? The Gemara seems to say that for the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed, okay, the Jew can't write himself, that we know. Okay, that we accept, but the Jew can tell a non-Jew to write the document up on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? What do you mean? Isn't it the case that telling a non-Jew to do something is a shvus? Shvus is a nickname for any rabbinic restriction on Shabbos. That's what Rashi says in Erevin. Kol isa d'rabbanan havi shvus. Anything which is forbidden mi d'rabbanan on Shabbos is called a shvus. Any rabbinic injunction relating to Shabbos. So isn't it Amir l'Nachri Shavuos? Isn't it rabbinically prohibited to go ahead and tell a non-Jew to write something for you on Shabbos? Not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, yes, true. Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael lo gazer rabbanan. Because of the importance of owning land and populating Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanan's decree doesn't apply. In other words, generally speaking, yes, you can't tell a goy to write down your shopping list for you so you'll be able to save time on Saturday night. That you can't do. But for the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, we suspend the rabbinic prohibition of Amir L'Nachri, of telling a goy that he can't, that we ordinarily would not be able to tell a goy to do something on Shabbos. Here we can. That's the chiddush of this Gemara. So again, to keep the facts straight, the Gemara thinks at first that perhaps even a Jew himself can write a document on Shabbos. That the Gemara says, no, there's no way to allow. That's for sure off limits. A Jew certainly cannot write on Shabbos, I don't care what mitzvah it is, again, except for saving a life. Other than that, a Jew can't write. What the Gemara allows is telling a non-Jew to write, even though ordinarily that's also not allowed, but that prohibition is only rabbinic in origin. And the rabbinic originating minig is lifted, or not minig, but the rabbinic din is lifted for the sake of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So that's the chiddush of this Gemara. This Gemara is telling us that for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you can tell a non-Jew to do something that's forbidden on Shabbos to you, which ordinarily is not allowed. That's how the Rambam paskins. The Rambam accepts this Gemara at face value. Perek Vav Hilchos Shabbos Haloch Yiralov Halokeh Bayis Beretz Yisrael and Agoy Mutol Olomer Goy Lichtav Lo Shtar B'Shabbos. Person buys a house in Eretz Yisrael from a Goy on Shabbos. You can tell the guy to draw up all the documents and sign everything and write everything on Shabbos. A Jew can't write anything, but he can tell a non-Jew to take care of all the things, even if it means instructing him to go do it. That's allowed. Why is that allowed? Says the Rambam. Shamira Lagoy B'Shabbos Asur Midivrayim. Telling a non-Jew to do something that I'm not allowed to do on Shabbos, do it for me, that's only rabbinic restriction. And because of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the rabbis never made the decree to cover that case. They lifted the decree in that particular case. So says the Shulchan Aruch. And so says the Rambam, rather, Shulchan Aruch. And the Rambam then adds, by the way, the same thing is true in Surya. That's where it got started. V'chein alokech b'ayisman b'Surya. Surya k'Eretz Yisrael. Surya is the same as Eretz Yisrael for this din. Comes the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shin Vav, Sifir Alev. Mutar liknos b'ayis b'Eretz Yisrael mina eino Yehudi. You are allowed to purchase on Shabbos from a non-Jew. And furthermore, says the Shulchan Aruch, and you can also have the documents signed and everything written in their courts by them, by the non-Jews, on Shabbos. Very nice. The Mechaber also paskins that even though telling a non-Jew, I'm not ordinarily on Shabbos, I'm not permitted to tell a non-Jew to do something I can't do myself, but here we will lift that rabbinic restriction and we tell a non-Jew, you can write the document up on Shabbos for the sake of the mitzvah of populating Eretz Yisrael. Comes along the Ramah with a bomb. The Ramah says this is only true that you can tell the non-Jew to write up the document on Shabbos. Says the Ramah, b'ksav shelohem, in their language. Why? The eino osarak midrabanan, because that itself is only midrabanan. Let's think of what the Ramah means. Mishum Yisrael, it's all it goes. We're not suspended for the sake of the mitzvah of populated Eretz Yisrael. Again, let's focus carefully on the words of the Ramah. The Ramah adds to the Shulchan Aruch that this permission to tell a non-Jew to write on Shabbos applies only if you're telling the non-Jew to write in his language, as opposed to what language? As opposed to Lashon Kodesh, as opposed to Hebrew. According to the Ramah, and he quotes this from one of the Rishonim, the Or Zeruah. According to the Ramah, quoting the Or Zeruah, when we say that it's prohibited to write on Shabbos, that only applies to writing in Hebrew characters. Writing Hebrew, that's biblically prohibited. Writing in English or in Chinese or in any other character, any other language, that, according to this Or Zeruah, is only midrabanan. It's a tremendous chiddush. But that's what he says. He says that the permission to go ahead and, the prohibition rather, to go ahead and write on Shabbos applies the oraisa to writing Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh, Hebrew characters. We call ksav ashuris. That's like the writing in a Sefer Torah. Right, Hebrew block print, and writing the Sefer Torah, like the Ksav and the Sefer Torah, or the Megillah, and the Mezuzah, and so on. That's what's not allowed on Shabbos to Oraisa. Everything else is only the Rabbanon. Now that has ramifications, because sometimes on Shabbos, we can violate something if we must. On a Rabbanon level, it's always better to violate the Rabbanon than the Oraisa. Right, let's say a person has to violate Shabbos for a medical reason. It's always better to try and violate the lesser prohibition. So here we're saying it's a lesser prohibition. This could be very relevant for doctors. Sometimes doctors are summoned to deal with a patient on Shabbos. They have to write certain things down. So what do they do? So according to this Ramah, no problem. Just make sure you don't write in Hebrew. Write in English. Only Drabbanan anyways. Right? That's what the Ramah is saying in the name of the Or Zeruah. So this is a tremendous insight into the melacha of kosev, of writing on Shabbos. The only d'oraisa, biblical issue, is to write in Hebrew characters. To write in English or any other language, any other characters, would be forbidden on a d'rabbanon level. Again, I stress, we observe all the d'rabbanons. Observant Jews keep the d'rabbanon laws too. I'm not trying to say that therefore it's not important. It's just as important. But still, there is a difference between something which is prohibited from the Torah and something prohibited from the rabbis. So now, coming back to the issue of the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Here's the point. The Ramah seems to paskin, the name of the Zohar Zeruah, that what you cannot do, you cannot, not only can a Jew not write on Shabbos himself, that's for sure in the Gemara, a Jew can't even tell a non-Jew to write on Shabbos if it's in Hebrew. Why? Because that itself is forbidden to Oraisa. So when something is forbidden to Oraisa, you can't tell the non-Jew, it's rabbinic injunction against telling the non-Jew, but you can't tell the non-Jew to do something which to you is Asa to Oraisa. You can only tell a non-Jew on Shabbos to do something which to you is itself only Asa to Rabbanim. If I, the Jew, would write in English, that's a din to Rabbanim. That's a violation of rabbinic law. So the chiddush here is, with regards to settling and populating Eretz Yisrael, I can tell a non-Jew to do something which to me is only rabbinically prohibited to start with. But I can't tell him to do something which is biblically prohibited. I can't tell him to write in Hebrew. Okay, that's the position of the Ramah. That's called, in Talmudic lingo, a shvus de shvus. It's a double derabanan. Because what we're saying is that it's a derabanan that you're not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbos. And it's a derabanan here that what you're telling him to do is only derabanan, because it's only a case of writing in another language. So that's what's allowed. Shvus de shvus. A double derabanan. That's further removed from the issur. So now if we follow the progression, the Gemara at first seemed to think that for the sake of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Jew can actually write. Then the Gemara said, impossible. You can't say, no way. No way can a Jew write on Shabbos. I don't care what. So the Gemara says, oh, what does it mean? It means you can tell the non-Jew to write. Now the way most of us learn the Gemara, that's the way the Rambam learns and the Mechaber learns, you can actually tell the non-Jew to write. I don't care what language it is. Whatever he writes it, doesn't matter. Ramah says, no, you have to make sure you don't tell him to write in Hebrew. Because if he writes in Hebrew, then you're telling him to do something which is forbidden biblically to you. And if something which is forbidden biblically to you, you can't ask him to do on Shabbos. You need a double derabanan. The one derabanan is asking the guy to do it, and the other derabanan is the activity has to be forbidden derabanan. The only way it's allowed is a shvus, dishvus. That's the opinion of the Or Zeruah. Now, it's a minority view, but if it wouldn't have been, you know, if it would have just been the Or Zeruah, so we have great respect for the Or Zeruah, but we say he's disregarded by most of the poskim. But the Ramah brings in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Ramah is telling us really two dinim emerge from here. The Ramah tells us a staggering point. He tells us that the only time there's an Isser D'Oraisa to write on Shabbos, he writes in Hebrew characters, Ksav Ashuris, like they're writing in the Sefer Torah. Everything else is the Rabbanan. Because of that premise, that's his premise. Because of that premise, he says what the Gemara in Gittin is allowing for the sake of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is for that you can have this double derabanan. You can tell the goy to write in such a way that it's only also would even be also to you only derabanan. This double jump, this double derabanan. So this is the opinion of the Or Zeruah. Do we have a parallel? Is that, you know, it's a strange thing. I mean, you know, where else might we see an example in the Gemara of something where we will suspend the Isser of Amir Lenachri for the sake of a mitzvah, and do you have to have the double jump, or do you not, or is the double jump not necessary? So there is an interesting Gemara in Erevin. Okay, the Gemara is in Erevin, Daf. I should stress, by the way, I didn't mention, but the Or Zeruah's opinion is based on a Yerushalmi. The Or Zeruah didn't make this up out of the clear blue sky. The Or Zeruah, there's a Yerushalmi in Shabbos on the also the same parak, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Gimel, and Daf Samach Tesam and Aleph, and mentions that they wrote on the boards, the planks of the Mishkan, they wrote Aleph or Alpha. Right? The Hebrew Aleph or Greek is Alpha. That's what they wrote. So as the Ruah says, you see from there that those are the only two languages that is biblically wrote in, so therefore that's all that's biblically forbidden. Chinese, English, Swahili, that's only Asa D'Rabbanan. That's the position of the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah says it's only us, it's not considered a malacha unless you do it Aleph Alpha, the type of language that the Gemara was talking about, either in Hebrew or Greek, those characters. Now why Greek has a special status? So it's a beautiful language, Yafta Lekim Liefes, the Gemara has, based on a pasuk in Parshas Noah, another discussion, but that's the opinion of the Or Zeruah. Is there a parallel? So there is an interesting Gemara in Erevin, Samer Zion of Abbas. The Gemara tells a story talking about a bris which is taking place on Shabbos. As you know, If the bris is bismano, if it's the eighth day, and as the eighth day happens to be on Shabbos, we do the bris anyways. We do not hesitate to do a bris on Shabbos. If the baby is well, if it's the eighth day, not that it was pushed off and now it happens to be Shabbos, no, that was the eighth day of the baby's life. He's born, let's say, the previous Shabbos, and now it's 8 days later, you're right, it's the eighth day. So you're allowed to do the bris on Shabbos. However, the Gemara says you're only allowed to do the bris itself. But all preparations, let's say if the mo has to bring his knife over, that all has to be done before. The machshirin, the preparatory mitzvahs, that has to be done prior to Shabbos. The meal itself is allowed on Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer disagrees. He's even lenient and allows the machshirin to be done on Shabbos. They don't accept that. Now, one of the things is background information that used to be considered an absolute necessity when there's a bris was to have hot water. Because they used to wash the baby down right after the bris. I guess it was some sort of antiseptic type of thing. Today we don't do that anymore. Today you don't need any hot water to bris because we have various other types of creams or whatever, other types of antiseptics, and we have different cleanliness and so on. But in those days, for hygienic purposes, it was necessary to have hot water ready for right after the bris, to the point that if they didn't have hot water, they wouldn't do the bris. Because it would be a danger. It was considered to be a danger to the child not to be washed down in warm water right after the bris. That's what they assumed in those days. And we have other implements. We have the same concerns, just so we have other ways to deal without hot water. But in those days, the issue was hot water. So lo and behold, the Gemara tells us there was a story where they had a bris on Shabbos. They had heated up a pot of hot water from before Shabbos. And what happened? Yanuka de ishtape chamime. Somebody banged into the stovetop, knocked the pot down, and all of the water spilled out. Now what? Hey, we're about ready to do this bris, but there's no hot water. So what are we supposed to do? I mean, we're going to have to cancel the bris. Tell all the guests, come back tomorrow. Okay, we can't do the bris now because there's no hot water. So it happens to be, the Gemara says, that Rabbah, the great Amora Rabbah, was present at that bris. So Rabbah said, wait, we don't have to worry. Quiet everybody down. And Rabbah says, I live a couple of blocks from here. I've got hot water at home. Let's go carry this. Go carry the pot of hot water from my house to here. That's what the Gemara says. He says, Amalei Rabba, Nesulei Chamim, go get the pot of hot water from my house. We're all set. So Amalei Abaye, who was Rabba's nephew. Rabba raised Abaye, was an orphan. Uncle Rabba raised him. So Abaye says to Rabba, Vahola Arvina, and guess what? There's no Erev here. Can't carry. What do you mean go to your house and carry the pot of water? No Erev. Can't carry on Shabbos. Carrying is also one of the 39 malachos. Sorry. So Rabbi said, no, that's not what I meant. What I meant was, get a goy to bring the water from my house. Of course, a Jew can't do it because it's Shabbos, there's no Erev, so a Jew can't carry. What I mean is, go ask a non-Jew to go get the pot of water from my house. That's the end of the story there, more or less. So you look at that Gemara, it seems to be that the Gemara is allowing a person to ask a non-Jew to do something on Shabbos, which is d'oraisa. Carrying is forbidden d'oraisa. No doubt about it. It's one of the 39 malachas. So this Gemara seems to say that Rabbi Paskin, you can ask the non-Jew. And by the way, not only for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but even for Mila also, we're talking here about Bris Mila. We're saying that for the sake of the Bris Mila, we will suspend the Isser of asking the non-Jew. And you can even ask him to do something which to you would be biblically forbidden, namely carrying. So says the Gemara in Erev and Samach Zion Rebeis. A little bit later in the same discussion, the same sugya, this will be Daf Samach Chesam and Aleph. The Gemara there tells another story. Wants to store another baby on Shabbos, same problem. Some klutz knocked over the hot water, and now there's no hot water. Same problem, this was years later. So the water spilt, and the same question, what should we do? Amar lahu Rava. So Rava, who was alive at that time, and then that story, the first story was with Rabba, the previous generation. This is Rava. So Rava says, well, let's see. Nishayle le'ime. Let's ask the mother if she needs hot water. Why would the mother need hot water? Because again, the mother just came out of the labor. Okay? You know, today, we have a very good hospital treatment, hygiene. So you go to the hospital, have a baby home the next day. 2 days later, tops, unless there are complications. But at one time, even the not-so-distant past, that was not the case. A woman had a baby in the hospital for a week. Right? I mean, that's standard procedure, sometimes longer. Women had to convalesce. Having a baby was a big procedure. And the women stayed in the hospital for a while. So the Gemara here says that a woman who was just within a week after having had a baby, she just had a baby, it's the eighth day since she had the baby, may feel weak, may feel hungry, tired. So the Gemara says, go ask the mother if she can use some hot water. Needs a cup of tea. Okay? So if the mother says, I would like some hot water, she's considered a kola, sheesh posakana. A few days after the baby is dangerous, still loss of blood, and various other things that she's in a dangerous biological and physical situation. So we say if she needs the hot water, it's certainly allowed because it's a pikuach nefesh, it's a life-saving measure, a life-preserving measure. Now, so that's the Gemara in Erevin. And what Rabba meant was, if your mother says, yeah, and you're going to heat up a kettle of water for the mother, so throw in a few extra, little extra water so we'll have for the baby also. Now the implication of that Gemara was, notice that they didn't say, go tell a non-Jew to go get it, or go tell a non-Jew to heat it up. Okay. What are they worried about? They had first, before they told the non-Jew to heat it up, they had to know that the mother needed it. So we asked the question, wait a minute, what do you need the mother involved for? You're telling the non-Jew to do it, right? You're telling the non-Jew, why do you have to wait first and ask the mother? You're telling the non-Jew to heat it up. And I thought you were allowed to tell a non-Jew to do something on Shabbos, which is forbidden to you, even though it's forbidden to Raisa, like the first Gemara in Erevin, like they were telling the guy to carry in Rishus HaRambam. And here they said, no, here apparently it's not allowed. So what's going on here? So the what comes out from this discussion over here is that according to the second Gemara in Erevin, telling a goy to do something that's biblically forbidden is not allowed. The only way they were ready to allow it is if there was some emergency need, the mother's medical condition, the man, okay, then we'll allow it. But other than that, we wouldn't. So here we have contradiction between two Gemaras that are page to page, back to back in Erevin. The first Gemara says, tell the goy to carry it in Rosh Hashanah, finished. That sounds like you can tell a goy to do something that's also on Shabbos, as a shvus, even though it's also deraisa. But in the second case, they don't say, tell the goy to heat up the water. They say, which I would expect it. Same thing, I'm telling the goy to do something on Shabbos that I'm not allowed to do, but I'm telling him to do it on Shabbos for me, and that's allowed because it's for an important mitzvah. But still, wait a second. The Gemara says you're only allowed to do it if the mother needed it. So what's going on here exactly? It's a contradiction. So Tosus and Gittin Chesem Beis deals with this contradiction. We're not going to read through the whole Tosus now. We'll just try and synopsize what Tosus says. Tosus says that actually, you see from the, you know, from the Gemara, it was actually a dispute, actually a machlokas, as to exactly what it is that's allowed and what's not allowed. Tosus says the following. Tosus, the Maslan Afal Gav, Damir Lovi Kabam Shus Mishmisher Etzel Lo Gaz Rabbanim, right? The Gemara we mentioned before. So says Tosus, no. The correct Gemara is the Gemara in the second source in Erevin that you're allowed to tell the guy to do something on Shabbos even if, excuse me, no, sorry, of course, excuse me, according to Tosus, the other way around. According to Tosus, what's allowed on Shabbos is to tell the goy to do something which is rabbinically prohibited. That you're allowed to tell him to do. But you can't tell him to do the oraisa unless there's some need. It's the second Gemara in Erevin that's correct. Okay, it's the second Gemara in Erevin that's right. You had to make sure that the mother needed the water, then you can tell a goy to do it. To tell a goy to do something that's biblically forbidden for you on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do. I, the first Gemara, that said, Rabba said, go carry in Rosh Hashanah, says Tosfos, no. Where were you carrying? Says Tosfos, the case was, they were carrying in a place where carrying itself was only the Rabbanan. This is a whole different area of Halacha. But you know, when we build an Erev in a town, you can only build an Erev in a place, Erev consisting of strings and poles, that's only allowed in a place where the original prohibition of carrying is only rabbinic. Without going to the technical details in order, there is a biblical prohibition to carry on Shabbos. It's one of the 39 malachas, but that only pertains to certain types of areas. Certain criteria have to be met in order to label an area forbidden to carry there on Shabbos d'oraisa. Most of the areas that we have today, I don't know about in New York City, but in certainly in smaller towns, most of the areas that we have today, the prohibition against carrying is only the Rabbanan. So therefore, says Tosus, beautiful. Rabba was saying, tell the guy to go to my house and carry the pot of water from my house here to the shul. How does that help? That's a double derabbanan. One derabbanan is telling the guy, and the second thing is that the guy is going to carry in a place where that's only rabbinic. Even if a Jew were to carry, that would only be rabbinic. So that's consistent. The two Gemaras are consistent. You cannot tell a guy to do something which is forbidden, do rice on Shabbos. No way. Okay, that's only an exception for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Special din. But for Bris Milah, sorry. You can only tell a double jump. You need a shvus to shvus. The only way will allow you to tell a guy to do a direct melacha is if there's some medical need for the mother. So paskins Tosis. However, Tosis quotes the halachas gedolos, the Bahag, and the Bahag happens to hold not that way. The Bahag says, no, you can tell not only for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, for Mila also, you can tell the non-Jew to do a direct melacha. It doesn't have to be a double derabbanan, a shvus to shvus. Tell the guy to do the melacha. He can heat, he can carry, he can, whatever he wants to do. Tell him to do on Shabbos. That's exactly what Rabbah was talking about. It was an area that was doraisa to carry the pot from his house. It could be in the middle of a big city. Says the Bahag, that's fine. The Habalach says, you're allowed to tell the non-Jew to do something. It's only us on Shabbos. Aye, so why in the second Gemara in Erevin does it say it was only allowed to tell the Jew, to tell the guy to cook up the food if the mother needs the hot water also? What do you need that for? Forget the mother. Tell the non-Jew to heat up water. That's allowed. You're telling me, says the Bahag, that you're allowed to tell the non-Jew to do something even if it's also the rice. So tell him to heat up water. We need for the bris finished. We have to have a whole shtick and find out if the mother wants. What do you need it for? So the Bahag says, you're right. But if you were telling a goy, it wouldn't be necessary to talk about the mother. Says the Bahag, he had a slightly different version of the text in that second Gemara in Erev and Dav Samech Chesed Aleph. It wasn't a matter of telling a goy to heat up the water. It was telling a Jew, there were no goyim around. Let's say they lived in an old Jewish neighborhood. So there were no goyim around. So now the only choice is for a Jew to heat it up. Oh, for a Jew to heat it up? Then you can only do it with this trick that really it's for the mother, but we're adding a little bit, etc. Okay, so the Bahag and Tosos have two very different ways of resolving the contradiction between the two stories with the spilt water. According to Tosos, the rule is you're never allowed to tell a non-Jew to do something directly that's directly us or the rice on Shabbos. Not for the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Eretz Yisrael is an exception. That's the Gemara in Gittin. But for Bris Milah, which is pretty heavy-duty mitzvah itself, sorry, that you can't do. That's exactly why the Gemara says you're only allowed to tell the non-Jew to heat up the water if the mother needs it. You're not allowed to tell him directly. The earlier Gemara was saying that you're allowed to tell the goy to carry because that place wasn't also the rice, it was only also the rabbanan. And the Bahag says, no. The Bahag says, you are allowed to tell a non-Jew on Shabbos to do something that's also Doraisa. You can tell him to carry even a real Rishus HaRabim. The other Gemara, why do you have to know about the mother? Who cares? Let the guy heat it up. Yeah, if it were the guy heating up, it would be fine. But that case, as the Bahag was about a Jew heating it up, then you need this trick that only works agav the mother, because of the mother. Good. So that's the Tosus over there in Gittin on Daf Ches Amud Beis. Comes out, to bring it back to our discussion, so it comes out now that the Ramah, who paskins like the Or Zeruah, seems to say that what's forbidden on Shabbos, the Oraisa, is writing in Hebrew. Everything else is the Rabbanan. That's why the Chiddush of the Gemara is, in Gittin, that you could tell the non-Jew not to write in Hebrew characters on Shabbos, but to write in English characters, because the Ramah holds, like the Or Zeruah, that you need the double Shavuos, like what Tosfos says. You need, not like the Bahag, you need to have that it's a double, shvus to shvus. You can't tell a guy to do something, even for Eretz Yisrael. That's where the Or Zeruah parts come from, the Tosfos. Tosfos says Eretz Yisrael is an exception. The Or Zeruah says, no, nothing's an exception. There's no exceptions. You're never allowed to tell a guy to do something which is forbidden, which is permissible on, which is forbidden on Shabbos on a Doraisa level. You can only talk to him about something which is forbidden the Rabbanan, then you can tell him. And that's why what the Gemara in Gittin is talking about was you were telling the guy to write the document up in English or in Arabic or in Japanese or whatever language you're using, that's only the Rabbanan to begin with, then you can tell the non-Jew. Okay? That's the sheet of the Or Zeruah, it's the sheet of the Ra'aviyah, that's where he gets it from. There's only one slight problem with that opinion. It appears to be against an open statement in a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Shabbos, Kuf Gimel, and I read you now the words in the Mishnah. Hakosev shtei osios, you write two letters. Bechol loshon, write in any language, you're chayev. any language. Says Rashi, shall call ksavim, all scripts, any language, gufan, shall call umma v'umma. I don't care if it's Swahili or if it's a Persian, whatever you want, that's asur on Shabbos. So says the Mogen Avraham in Siman Shin Mei, Shin Mem, you're a checkmate. I don't know, how can the Rav Yoh and the Ozeru and the Rav Moh quote that you can tell a non-Jew to do only if it's a double derabbanan? How can they say that that's what's allowed because writing in Hebrew is the only issa deraisa? What do you mean? Any writing is deraisa, forbidden on Shabbos, whether it's Hebrew or any other language. That's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, b'chol loshon, any language. So what do you want from me? How can you claim, no, it's only Hebrew and Greek? The bomb of Akasha, like they say in the yeshivas, right? I mean, it's a Mishnah against what you ruled. The Mishnah says, b'chol loshon. So how in the world can the Or Zeruah say that, no, any other language, only Drabbanon? Right? The Mishnah is talking on a deraisa level. It's clear from the Lashon Chayev. Chayev means you're Chayev of carbon chattas and so on. So it's only deraisa. It's talking about deraisa. Well, I hope you understand the question. It's a powerful kasha. So the Prima Gadim advances a creative teretz. He said, well, maybe there's a difference between language and writing. Maybe Enochanami, the Mishnah says, you can't write in any language. Says the Ozeruah, provided it's Hebrew characters. The letters have to be Hebrew characters, like in Yiddish. In Yiddish, a different language, but they write with Hebrew characters. Or you can write English words with Hebrew characters. There are so many words in Hebrew now that are like English words. When we look sometimes in Chuvas or Moshe Feinstein from another son of his Chuvas, he quotes English words and he writes it in Hebrew letters. I remember seeing Frigidaire, when I told him refrigerator, Pei, Reish, Yud, right? He spells it out. That's what the Mishnah means by Osu Bechol Lashon, Hebrew characters. But if not only is the language another language, but it's English characters, you know, ABC and so on, that's the Rabbanan. Creative answer, it doesn't really look like that from the Mishnah, but that's the Prima Gadim. Mishnah Berurah explains in the Bir Halacha, the long Bir Halacha about this, you know, which we're not going to read inside at all, but the Bir Halacha is in that same Siman, in the Siman Shin Vav, that Mishnah Berurah says, the Prima Gadim's answer is clever, but it's not accurate, because the Prima Gadim didn't have an Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah, that Rishon, his works weren't available the days of the Prima Gadim. Things were out of print for a while. Mishnah Berurah had it. He said, if you look in the Or Zeruah, he doesn't give that answer. He says the Mishnah, when it said Chol Lashon, it meant only Hebrew and Greek. That was a pretty weak answer. But nonetheless, that's the position of the Or Zeruah. That's what the Ramu accepts. Do we accept that La Halacha? The answer is, with all deference to the Or Zeruah, with all deference to the Ramah, the Noda Behuda has a tshuva, Ma'adur Tinyonah, Chelek Arachayim, Simen Lamed Gimel. He says, it's astonishing shita, it's a minority viewpoint, and it is disregarded lahalacha. We assume all writing is also on Shabbos, whether it's in English or French or Hebrew, whatever language, doesn't make a difference. The Or Zeruah, he calls it dato yechidah, it's one opinion, you know, and then he asks a whole pack of kashas against it and so on. So the Noda Behuda says, the Kabbalah raises the Kasha. We don't paskin like this Rav Yoh, this Or Zeruah, and we don't paskin like this Ramah. We assume that everything is also Doraisa, writing on Shabbos, whether it's this language, that character, doesn't make any difference. Now, the question, and that's I think, the widespread, you know, accepted halacha. That's how the Mishnah Berurah writes. He says in Siman Shin Vav in the Bir Halacha, the Kol Rishonim. All the Rishonim, Azla Bechada Shitza Kepashta the Masnisin, follow the simple reading of the Mishnah, namely that all Lashon Yerchayev. And he tell me the Or Zeruah, and our Gaon Mamani agrees, he says, that's Das Yechidahu. That's a minority viewpoint, Vinidcheis, and it is pushed aside, it is disregarded, Mikol Hani Rabvosa, because of all the other rabbis who hold otherwise, with all due respect. He said, this is the Shita the Or Zeruah, there's no one else who says it, it's a minority view, and we don't accept the halacha. Okay, so what do we accept the halacha? We accept the halacha that writing in any language is also on Shabbos. Memela, bring it back to the Gemara and Gittin, if writing in any language is what's also on Shabbos, so then, when the Mishnah says, the Gemara rather says, you're allowed to write the document on Shabbos, it'll mean in any language, even in Hebrew, it doesn't make a difference, all the same, the way we paskin, a lot like the Ramah. We paskin, it makes no difference what language it is, it's also on Shabbos to write, but for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you can tell a goy. So what this Gemara seems to allow, according to this point of view, is you don't need a double jump. You don't need a shvus to shvus. Okay, for Eretz Yisrael. For Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, one shvus is enough. You can tell the goy to write. The Raisa. Right? It's rabbinic to tell the guy, but his act is also for me to the right, so that's okay. Okay, tell him he can write, that's allowed for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but not for any other mitzvah. That's the sheet of Tosfos, only Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, not for any other mitzvah. This latter point is not necessarily agreed upon by everybody, because there are some who seem to say that it's not just Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, it's true for other mitzvahs also. And certainly if you hold that it's a shuas to shuas, and that's really what the Mishnah Berurah and others talk about in other places, according to some, you're allowed to, for the sake of any mitzvah, apply a shuas to shuas, a single shuas. That's only a special rule, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's only allowed, says Tosfos, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But what about for another mitzvah? So for another mitzvah, right, we find the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Simon Reish Ayin Vav, Sif Beis, talks about a situation which we may have happened sometimes. You hear about it, the lights went out on Shabbos. In those days, there are no light, you know, electric lights or incandescent bulbs, fluorescent bulbs, whatever, everything was candlelight. So somehow there was a big wind and all the candles went out. It's dark in the house. So you're allowed to tell the non-Jewish neighbor, if you want, to go ahead and do certain things as long as it's not a real malacha. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, and that Simon Reish Ayin Vav Sif Beis Yesh Lahachmir B'Makom She'ein Tzar Gadol. The Rov Poskim Cholkam Asar Azu. There are some who allow it, but most people say you cannot have a single Doraisa. The only way it would work is if it's like this double jump, this shvus to shvus, by other mitzvahs. By Yishuv Eretz Yisrael it works, but not by other mitzvahs. Anik Mishnah Berurah quotes him, the Shalom is machmer, even for the sake of a need. Okay? And they're never allowing it. All right? The Isser to ask a goy to do something is not lifted if it's a direct melacha d'oraisa for anything but Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, according to the Shita. And others say it might be able to get away with it for other mitzvahs as well. For example, for a bris, for example, but even not for a bris. Some say for other things also, to fix the Erev, for example, the Mishnah Berurah talks about. A pole came down, a rope came down, you can tell the goy to fix it on Shabbos. Certain things, that's Tzorchei Rabin. Sometimes it comes up, you come to Shul Shabbos afternoon, and lo and behold, the lights are out. All the people are waiting down Mincha, and no lights. So according to many, you can tell the goy directly, because it may only be the Rabbana Shvus to Shvus. Anyway, this topic covers quite a number of different areas, and it's a very, very major topic. Why would Yishuv Eretz Yisrael be different? So these are different opinions. The Ramban in Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed, he says Eretz Yisrael is different because of something that unfortunately happened in Jewish history. Okay, many Jews didn't want to come back and take the opportunity to buy land in Eretz Yisrael. They ended up losing it. The Ramban campaigned to get people to go to Eretz Yisrael from Europe. The Ramban himself went from Eretz Yisrael to Europe, from Europe to Eretz Yisrael, rather. And many Jews followed him. The Ramban is the father, so to speak, of Zionism. They made a big deal about encouraging people to go live in Eretz Yisrael. And the Ritva, who stayed in Europe, but he was a Talmud of the Rashba, and he also says a similar kind of thing, that we do not allow somebody to do something that is forbidden on Shabbos, except for the double Shavuos, and even that is not allowed according to some, but the only thing that is allowed is because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because of its unique status. In any event, what comes out from all of this is that despite the position of the Ramah, quoting the Or Zeruah, and certain convincing arguments, that was forbidden to Oraisa is only the law, when you're telling the goy to do some law which is prohibited to you, the Oraisa, that's the only time it's permissible. And if it's prohibited the Oraisa, you can't tell the non-Jew to do it, except for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, possibly. Or the others who say, no, as long as you're not doing it yourself, you can tell the goy to do it. According to this view, writing is prohibited on Shabbos only according to this premise of the Ramah, if you write in Hebrew characters, if you write in other characters, Drabbanan. But as we said, we don't even follow the Ramah for that either, and we assume that writing is never allowed on Shabbos, not in any character, okay? What you can do is you can tell a non-Jew indirectly to do a shvus, but not this shvus, because that's not far enough removed. You can't tell a non-Jew to write on Shabbos in any language, because writing on Shabbos is forbidden to you. So this just gives some insight into the mitzvah of ksiva on Shabbos and the staggering opinion of some that ksiva only applies as an isser on Shabbos if you're writing in Hebrew characters. But again, that's that's not the accepted view. The accepted view doesn't matter. Any type of writing is violating the halacha of kosev on Shabbos, of writing on Shabbos, and therefore it can only be suspended under certain cases or in certain mitzvahs according to the different authorities that we outlined.